What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, the Fantasy Viper, Graham Barfield, in transit, we believe, from the East Coast. So he should be back with us later on in the week. But we have survived. We have survived the regular season. Oh, I just know you're sporting an Expos hat.
I know.
It just caught me off guard.
I said it. It's so I don't wear gear of teams that I don't root for, but this team doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And it's one of the best, most kick-ass logos in the history of sports.
I have the
I busted it out.
I have the Expos hat, the red, white, and blue pinwheel one, which is one of
Oh, yeah. See, I can't pull that one off. This one I can do.
Yeah. It caught me off guard. I'm not used to seeing you outside of like a Yankees or a
Cowboys. I know, yeah. Hat. I went with the Expos today because they're, you know,
all right.
That logo is just awesome.
Yeah. I actually wore one. I think it was like a Nationals Giants game once.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I don't like the Nationals or the Giants, but I can wear an Expos hat and it like sort of works.
Exactly. So. Because they don't exist anymore.
Right.
So, yeah,
exactly. So, we have plenty to talk about. Of course, we will sort of wrap up the 2019 season. Talk about some of the guys who were at their best, some of the guys who weren't at their best, and we'll try to figure out whether or not the guys can repeat or get better next year. We'll also kind of start to touch on the playoff challenge. For those of you who kind of want to do something in the postseason, we do have the playoff challenge here at NFL.com, a chance for you to kind of keep going through the postseason. And I believe it involves a chance to win Super Bowl tickets, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So there you go. A chance to possibly go to the Super Bowl if you get it right.
Not this upcoming Super Bowl.
No, it would be into the 2020 season. February of 2021. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier said than done to win this thing, but we'll kind of touch on it a little bit. Maybe later in the week, we'll kind of dive into some actual more strategy about it. But before we get into that, go behind the glass, talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy Esquire, back from the East Coast. Murph, what's going on?
Yeah, guys, it's good to be back. Good to see your faces. What a wonderful morning to come back and record this podcast.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of news in my world.
Are you happy about it, though?
Yes, it's confusing though because obviously they fire Pat Shurmur. That's what we're talking about,
right?
And then they say they're going to retain David Gettleman as GM, according to John Maris, that he wants him to be the GM in 2020. I heard mixed reports that he may be an advisor. He may like step down tomorrow because I believe he's doing a press conference midday tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But he is staying. So it's a weird thing where you fire the coach but keep the GM because I feel like, you know, according to the media and a lot of Giants fans, you feel like you want to give out equal blame to both. But it's a strange time. But, you know, hopefully they hire Matt Rhule and have the fourth pick in the draft and around 70 million in cap space. And we'll see what happens in 2020.
There is reason to be hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the cupboard is completely bare.
And the Giants are going to have some good fantasy players, man. And Daniel Jones, we talked about it.
Yeah.
He will be like one of the big sleepers.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, and Saquon ended up, you know, eclipsing 1,000 yards only in what he played 12 games.
Saquon's going to end up being the RB1 next season. You watch.
Yeah.
I'm
happy for it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Would not be surprised. All right. Well, in that note, let's do some news.
Through the news.
Well, let's start with some of these head coaching moves. As Eddie mentioned, Pat Shurmur has been let go by the New York Football Giants after a couple of years that were not great there in New York. Shurmur is now out, and there was some speculation about whether or not the team would move on from Dave Gettleman, but they are not, at least for the time being. He remains the man in charge of kind of building the roster there in New York. So we'll see how long that continues or what they can do for next year. But that's not the only head coaching move that we have to report. Yesterday, before the evening was out, in fact, even before the Sunday night game finished.
Yeah, they didn't.
The Browns wasted no time. In fact, you know, my dad is in town, and we were sitting there watching the Niners and the Seahawks, which was a great game, by the way.
You're loving life.
But we're sitting there, and at some point, he looks at his phone. He's like, "Hey, Browns fired their coach." He actually knew before I did, but Freddie Kitchens is out as the Browns head coach. We're still waiting to see what the Cowboys may be doing with Jason Garrett at this point.
Right. There's supposedly a meeting with the team and with the Joneses. yeah, it's, I don't know.
In fact,
Urban Meyer.
We'll see. A tweet from our own Jane Slater this morning says a team source tells me head coach Jason Garrett's contract expires on January 14th, so it is possible that we may not hear any word until then. It would not be a firing. It would simply be a decision to not renew. So basically, she's saying Jerry Jones might just take a knee and let the clock run out.
Yeah, right.
And not make a move.
Yep. Yeah, that could be it. Ian Rappaport, our pal, is saying that the Browns, now we've heard already Ron Rivera's name tied to that job.
Well, he's also Washington.
Yes. He's also mentioned Kevin Stefanski, Josh McDaniels. You think McDaniels gets out now because the ship is sinking? That could potentially happen. Greg Roman, Dennis Allen, the Saints defensive coordinator. We'll see.
Yeah. The McDaniels name is interesting in the sense of he had a chance to go to Indianapolis where things are actually set up well, right? They've got a good GM.
And at that point,
they've got pieces in place.
Yeah, they had Andrew Luck.
Right, and they had Andrew Luck at that time, right? And he backed out of this one. Why all of a sudden Cleveland looks more interesting to him? I know he has ties, I guess, to the Ohio area, to the Cleveland area. And so potentially, I guess, that has some interest to him. But I don't know why the Browns would be a whole lot more exciting when he felt like the Colts weren't the place. But I don't know.
But again, it could also be that, you know, he saw the Patriots in the middle of that dynasty still.
Right.
And now the wheels are falling off, which is, you know, heartbreaking. So he's going to. So many NFL fans.
So he's going to pull the chute, huh?
So he could pull the chute and
pull
say,
the chute and go.
I'm out of here. It's been fun.
So, okay, so we know. So here are the head coaching openings we got. We got the Panthers.
Yep.
We've got Washington.
Why did they even play yesterday?
Because the schedule maker said so.
I mean, that was nothing more than just
paycheck. It was a chance to pad Christian McCaffrey's stats.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll talk about that, too, a little bit.
Ugh.
So we got that. We got Washington. We've got the Giants right now. We've got the Browns.
Yeah.
Anybody else I'm missing? We're waiting to see what happens with the Cowboys, but that potentially could come open.
Should happen. That should happen.
Of those four teams, which was the most attractive? I mean, especially fantasy-wise, right? Offensively, what, the Giants, the Browns, potentially?
Well, I mean, it would be the Cowboys if...
If the Cowboys... Yeah,
if and when.
Presuming the Cowboys let Jason Garrett go.
Right.
That's probably them number one.
It would certainly... And, you know, we've also seen lately, I mean, outside of, like, you know, Denver hiring Fangio, that, like, a lot of these teams are going with these young offensive minds. So... That could, you know, that's always good for fantasy too, because what do we want? We want points.
Right.
And getting defensive minded coaches in to lead teams doesn't necessarily equate to a lot of fantasy production, but you get some of these young guys who have new ideas and they want to make their stamp on the league on the offensive side, that could be beneficial for fantasy fans for sure.
Just as an aside,
after
the Oklahoma Sooners got rolled, how do you feel about Lincoln Riley potentially coming in to be the head coach?
I want Urban Meyer.
I know you don't watch a lot of college football.
Yeah, I don't watch.
But they got. I mean, they just got stomped by LSU.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I want it to be Jim Harbaugh, but I know that's probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
But
he might get run out of Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, I like Urban Meyer. You know, everywhere he's gone in college, he's done pretty well.
And here's the thing.
And he's not like a yes man either.
He's not. And also, you can bring him to the NFL and you don't have to worry about recruiting violations. You don't have to
worry,
there's none of that you have to worry
exactly
about. Those sort of things, you know, these kind of NCAA violations have sort of followed Urban Meyer around. You don't have that in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that kind of thing there.
So we'll see.
This is going to be a thing we'll keep an eye on, obviously, over the next few days and weeks as teams make hires and as we see coordinators kind of fall in here. I know, Fabs, you've done stuff in the past where you look at coordinators and their offensive style
and
sort of try to translate it to what it means fantasy-wise. So that's going to be a thing we will definitely keep an eye on as we go along.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like, and you know, I mentioned Greg Roman. Did that not just line up perfectly for fantasy owners? A guy who gets that job in Baltimore, run-based system, and they go out and break records for rushing, and Lamar Jackson's the best player in fantasy football aside from Christian McCaffrey, and Mark Ingram goes for double-digit touchdowns and is a very, very valuable fantasy asset. And this is, I mean, he coached Colin Kaepernick, who was a very good fantasy quarterback under him, and Tyrod Taylor as well, so those things matter.
Selfishly, And look, I know Greg Roman probably wants the chance to be a head coach. I want him to stay in Baltimore. Like, yeah. Keep him with Lamar. Like, let's
Roman.
We got a good thing.
Roman was with the Niners.
He was there with during Kaepernick's best years.
And that's when,
in fact, he was there.
Gore was pretty decent.
Gore was still there. Yes. Yeah, I mean, he was there for their Super Bowl run when they lost to the Ravens in the Super Bowl. He was the offensive coordinator there. And yeah, Colin Kaepernick played some of his best football.
Yeah.
Frank Gore was certainly very productive at that time. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we know he can make it work, and that's why selfishly I would say, like, just keep him in Baltimore. Like, we have a good thing going. Let's not break up the band just yet, but, you know, it's not my career that we're talking
right.
about here. So, understandably. Some other news headlines, things that wrapped up the season that were interesting. Let's just start here since we talked about Greg Roman and the Baltimore Ravens. They break the single-season team rushing record. I know people talk about running backs and whether or not they matter and this and that, but look, man. Mark Ingram was a star this year. We know what Lamar Jackson has done. But even in week 17, when they didn't have those guys, I mean, Justice Hill went out and had a very nice game. And
so Gus the Bus had over 100 yards.
Had a nice game. So at least I think for the foreseeable future, at least as long as Greg Roman is there, we know where to go for running back help for fantasy football. The Baltimore Ravens are a place to go now.
No question. And, you know, Ingram, I believe, is going to end up being 30 to start next season. So you don't know if he's going to hit that proverbial wall. But I mean, he's going to be in the RB2 conversation once again, and assuming that Greg Roman is back. But you know, this is the time where we look at these great performances by players, and you know, it's all praise and you know, Lamar Jackson was this and that. Going to be very interesting to see what he does for an encore.
Yeah,
because a lot of times the encores are not as good.
Not as good.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike Boone, thanks for nothing. When I talk about running the ball, Mike Boone, who everyone in the fantasy industry was on last week, if he did this last week, I win two of the championships that I lost. Sorry. What the hell was that? Yeah. I mean, talk about running the ball. I mean, I had Amir Abdullah ranked like right next to Mike Boone in week 17 because doing week 17 rankings is just an awful, awful task. But Mike Boone.
It was huge.
Sours
me. Huge day.
Had a 148 yards and a touchdown.
Day. When everybody had kind of given up on him because most people were done.
But I tell you, the running back position, if you look at the top scorers in week 17, this is why you don't play in week 17.
As a reminder of why you don't
Boston
do this.
Scott was second. Damian Williams was third. Mike Boone was seventh.
I mean,
DeAndre Washington, although a lot of us called it, was ninth. Mostert was 11th. I mean, Rykel Armstead was 14th.
Yeah. I mean, it was just a landscape of
yes,
what's going on.
Yeah.
One guy who was great all year long, Christian McCaffrey, he joins the 1,000 club, got 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. That seemed to be the only thing that the Panthers had going for yesterday.
So Marshall did it and Roger Craig did
and Roger
it, right?
Craig
Those
did.
Are the only two.
Those are the only two that have done it. So now Christian McCaffrey is the third.
And he's the consensus number one overall pick next season.
I think so at this point.
It's got to be, right?
Right? I mean, The Panthers obviously are going to retool a little bit. We'll see what happens at the quarterback position. We'll see who their head coach is going to be and offensive coordinator next year. But Christian McCaffrey is the offense for all intents and purposes. I mean, you know, I know DJ Moore had a nice year. It looks like Greg Olsen may be retiring. This thing's going to continue to run through Christian McCaffrey next
year. So let's see. I'm looking at his touches. So he had 287 carries. He had 116 catches. I mean, that's bananas.
Right.
That's just sick. That's sick good. So
right.
Doing the math, we're at 387, and so, I mean, over 400 touches.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, that hasn't been a good thing for a lot of running
backs. A lot of running backs, it's not a good thing. I mean, he's still
Larry Johnson comes to mind.
He's still obviously early in his career. He's very young.
Mm-hmm. But also, too, a lot of it was catches. Like, Larry Johnson didn't catch nearly as many passes as a guy like Christian McCaffrey did. So, you know, Larry Johnson was getting more of his burn as, you know, carrying the ball, taking the punishment.
Right.
Whereas McCaffrey's catching far more balls out of the backfield. So, I mean, he's got to be, you know, and our pal Bob Harris, who we love here, you know, he always says, don't draft last year's best team.
Yep.
McCaffrey probably won't finish number one in back-to-back years.
Right.
But so it's real hard to overlook 471 fantasy points.
I'm looking right now at the other two guys who went 1,000 and 1,000 and seeing what they did the following year, right? So
yeah.
Roger Craig, 1985, 1,050 rushing yards, 1,016 receiving yards, so 2066 in terms of scrimmage yards, also 15 total touchdowns. The next year, The rushing yards came down to 830. Mm-hmm. The receiving yards came down to 624. Okay. And he had seven total touches. So he had about 1,450
Did he miss
yards.
Any games?
He did not.
Oof.
He did not. He played 16.
Okay.
So he fell off about 600 scrimmage yards, and the touchdown number fell in half from 15 to 7. Now, Marshall Faulk, in 1999, 2,400 scrimmage yards, 2,429, 13, almost 1,400 rushing yards, which is amazing unto itself, and then 1,048 receiving yards. So 2,429 and 12 touchdowns. The next year, so this is actually kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, he had 1,359 rushing yards. So his rushing totals really didn't fall off all that much. His receiving yards, 830, so right. down about 200 approximately.
But still damn good.
Still very, very yeah. good. His touchdowns went way up.
Mm-hmm.
So the year he won 1,000 and 1,000 in 99, he had 12 total touchdowns. The next year, he had 26 total touchdowns. So,
well, I mean, you know, Marshall was a different kind of guy. I mean,
he was a different kind of guy, and the Rams at that, the greatest show on turf, I mean, was a machine that was just rolling.
And also, yeah, I mean, between Marshall and LaDainian,
yeah.
those are the two best running backs in fantasy football history.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, honestly, that 2000 season might have been his best overall year.
Mm-hmm.
The 26 touchdowns was a career high. He had almost 2,200 scrimmage yards. So
I'm not saying McCaffrey won't be great.
No.
Because he will be. But again, it's like, it's the thing with, and I'll give you the example of Mahomes and why, you know, I said and you said he's not worth a first round pick. He's not worth a second round pick. He's not worth a third round pick. If he's in there in the fourth round, I'm going to think about it. Mahomes had 26 touchdown passes this season. He had 50 last season.
Yeah.
26. Like, and I say it every year, and it happens every time. The magical season is something you have to watch for. Because
so,
it's not something you can typically replicate.
So next year, does he come back with like 40?
40.
Somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in between 26 and 50.
Yeah.
So like you know, 35 to 40 maybe.
I would
maybe.
Think so. And again, it's a new season. He's coming off a year where he had over 400 touches. I
right.
mean, so.
So I pulled up the Craig and Faulk stats to see. I mean, obviously, there's only been two other guys that have done it, so there's nothing we can really
yeah exactly
glean from it. I was just sort of curious what, you know,
I love
all
that stuff.
Was.
Are you kidding me?
I was just curious, and like, you know, one guy got slightly worse, one guy got a little bit better. So yep. there's really nothing to take away from it.
Exactly.
The third.
The good
guy.
Thing is that McCaffrey's a young back,
yep.
and but we also have to see what Carolina does with their quarterback position.
Yep.
We have to see what they do with their head coach. It's funny, too, because, like, remember when McCaffrey was drafted and a lot of people were like, this guy can't
well,
be a featured back.
He can't
and
run between the tackles.
I mean, he ran power at Stanford, so, like, I don't know what people yeah. overlooked there, but God darn it.
Trust
he
me.
He is just unbelievable.
As somebody who watched him run over USC for years, I knew he could run power.
Did USC play already their bowl game?
We don't want to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
We
Sorry.
Don't want to talk about it.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was not pretty. We'll leave it at that.
All right.
Last bit of news here, and this one just sort of it's I don't even know what to say about it. Jameis Winston
Ugh.
Made history yeah. on Sunday as Ugh. The first quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards with 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions, and he got you couldn't have scripted him getting to 30 interceptions better than what happened.
Yeah, pick
on
six.
Sunday.
I mean, like
a pick six yeah. in overtime to lose the game and end the season.
Yep.
It's
so Jameis.
It was perfectly Jameis.
That's all I can say. I will not draft him next season. He got me to two championships, and then he cost me both of them because he was so bad in that game against Houston with the four interceptions.
I can see
I
myself
can't draft him again.
I can see myself talking myself into it.
People lost years off their life.
Oh, absolutely.
With him this season.
I mean, watching Jameis is a Maalox moment unto
oh
itself.
Oh my gosh.
He's the quarterback five.
Maalox doesn't even make anything strong enough.
He's the QB five. He is sort of the reason that I have been advocating that we've got to do something about the interception numbers in fantasy. Like, they've got to be more punitive because you throw 30 interceptions and you're still the QB five. Like,
yeah, I threw for over 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I get that, but
right. We should be rewarding points for players when they're good.
When they're good, right?
I mean, he did have games where he was spectacular.
Yes.
But, I mean...
So, but here's the thing. I can talk myself into drafting him, but I also will have to absolutely draft a second quarterback.
Oh, dude.
Because there's no way I can run Jameis Winston out each and every week and expect that I'm going to be consistently successful. Because for every week that he gives you 25 or 30 points, he's going to come back with like a 10, right? And that's the thing you have to deal with when you have Jameis Winston.
Yep.
Do you think the Bucs move on from him?
I mean, that's a good question. Because you can't win with that quarterback. You can't win.
Not regularly.
You can't win. No, you're not going to the playoffs and competing for a Super Bowl. And if the goal of NFL teams is to get to the championship, you can't get there with Jameis Winston because turnovers kill you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that Jameis Winston will lead the Tampa Bay Buccaneers even to an NFC conference championship berth. Like, it's not going to happen.
Right.
You can't do it turning the ball over that much. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. You know, Cam Newton's going to be out there.
Yeah.
Right? Potentially.
Cam Newton's out there.
Could potentially be out there.
Andy Dalton will be hanging around out there for whatever that's worth. Hey, look, man, Andy Dalton helped the Bengals the last couple of weeks of the season. So,
how about Joe Mixon? Giddy up. After that performance, like, I mean, is he a second-round pick next season?
Yeah, I think he goes back to being a second-round. Because he was a second-round pick this year, and I think midway through the season, people were regretting that. Then back half of the year, you're like, oh, yeah, this is why I made the guy a second-round pick.
Yep.
So I think he will fall right back into that slot next year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right, let's look at some of the best and worst from 2019, and we will ask whether or not some of these guys can repeat, or for some of the guys who were bad, whether or not they can get better. Some of the bad ones are going to be fairly obvious here. The top three quarterbacks, when it's all said and done for 2019, I mean, not a big surprise here. Lamar Jackson actually finishes as number one. Dak Prescott finishes as the number two quarterback.
Isn't that insane?
Right. And Russell Wilson slides in at number three. Deshaun Watson kind of fell out of there because he didn't play.
Even Russell, too, because he was so bad, like,
down the stretch.
I mean, based on his previous standards down the stretch, yeah.
Right.
So, but... I don't have Dak in my top five quarterbacks for next season. Maybe that's
and that's what I was going to ask, right? Is like, you know, Dak Prescott, I wouldn't say this was a magical season for Dak. But he had a very good year. He threw the football a lot. Obviously, things are going to change in Dallas next year.
Yep.
I mean, look, I think everybody's going to have Lamar Jackson pegged as a top three quarterback next year, right? Mm-hmm. I can see Russell Wilson kind of hanging around that top five because that's what he does. I mean, was this a one-off for Dak, or is he legitimately a top three fantasy quarterback?
I don't think he's top three. I mean, I have the fifth spot, right, is going to go down to what your preference is from Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, and Kyler Murray, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be those guys, and those guys are all going to be in the top eight. Let's put it that way. But what we want from our players is consistency. Does a week 17 game against the Redskins even mean anything in fantasy? I mean, because we're not playing, but his previous three games, he was held under 18 fantasy points. That was another player who in week 16 killed me in one of my championships. He only gave me 11. Against New England, he only had 6.8 points. So he's had big games, but there have been times where Dak has also killed you.
Right.
So, but again, there can be only one Lamar Jackson, I guess, at least this season, a guy who just every week was pumping out 20, 30 pointers for your fantasy team. But he's borderline top five, Dak. He's borderline top five.
All right. I feel like there may be a new name that slides in here, right? At least into the top five. I'm looking right now, right? Like, so Josh Allen was six. Kyler Murray was eight.
Yeah.
I feel like those are two legitimate candidates to possibly slide into being top five quarterbacks.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. And we're starting to see the young guys now. Like, Tom Brady's not going to get drafted next year. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to end up getting picked outside of the top 100 for the first time.
Probably.
Since Brett Favre was playing in Green Bay, right? I mean, Drew Brees had a fantastic finish to the season. I don't know if he's probably at the end of the top 10. I haven't done those rankings yet at this point. But... yeah, Kyler, young guy. You know, Dak is still very young. Josh Allen's a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson, obviously, you know, coming off of his second season, which was brilliant. So Deshaun Watson's also a young dude, too. So, I mean, and you're also seeing the trend of, like, you know, a lot of these guys can run with the football. I mean, right. Lamar had 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns. Dak had 3 rushing touchdowns. Deshaun had 7 rushing touchdowns. Allen had 9.
You almost
Tyler
have
had
to
4.
Be. You almost have to be, just because of how fast pass rushers are now, right?
I mean, like, exactly.
You've got these defensive ends that are just so... Watching that Seahawks-Niners game last night, I mean, just kept remarking on how many times Nick Bosa was chasing down Russell Wilson.
Right.
And that speaks a lot to the athleticism of a lot of these guys on the defensive line. It's nothing new, but I think it's more pronounced now. And I think it's hard to be a quarterback who just stands in the pocket and expects to be successful.
Yep.
So on the flip side, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
he was the biggest quarterback bust
of the season. He was projected to be a top 5 quarterback coming into the season.
Yep.
He finishes as the QB20, had a few decent games in the last 2 months of the season. Yesterday ends up with 20 points, even though he threw 3 interceptions against the Bengals, he still finished with 20 points. Obviously there's going to be a major overhaul in Cleveland. Does he get drafted next year in a lot of fantasy?
I think he does. I think he'll be a QB2. He'll get drafted late. I mean, he's going to be sort of in that same area with, I hate to say it, but I mean, he's going to be drafted in the same area as, like, you know, the Carson Wentzes of the world and the Kirk Cousinses of the world. And Aaron Rodgers will go ahead of him, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he wasn't all that good this season either. He's going to end up being a late round pick, but it also depends on your strategy too. If you get an elite quarterback, maybe you're not going to draft a second one. And again, you know, what's the situation going to be? This is now his third head coach.
Yeah.
He's going to have his third head coach in 2020 in 3 years. So I don't know. Maybe Colin Cowherd was right.
I mean, who knows, right?
Colin Cowherd, I don't know if he was rooting against Baker, but I tell you one thing. As bad as Baker was, Cowherd was probably, you know, he had an S eaten grin on his face.
Like, I look at him and I look at Baker and I say, look, obviously his career is just starting, right? I mean, this was year 2. And so there's still time, but man, there were just moments when it just looked so bad.
Yeah, the offensive line was bad too. That didn't help him, so maybe they need to, you know, potentially make some upgrades there.
Yeah.
But that's going to be a hard team to project because of the names and the potential, but then you look back at the failures.
Right.
And if Kareem Hunt, I don't know that Kareem Hunt is under contract next season. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'd also want to take a look at this, and I'll probably do this in my 150 fantasy facts from 2019. He was not nearly as reliable once Hunt came back from suspension.
No, because
another guy who cost me a championship.
Part of it was that before Hunt came back, Chubb had a pretty significant role in the passing game. He caught a number of passes. Yeah. Once Kareem Hunt came back, then that went away. And yes, Kareem Hunt will be a free agent. He'll be a restricted free agent.
Okay.
Whenever free agency opens. So
I mean, let's look at the numbers, you know, that Nick Chubb put up. I mean, Kareem Hunt came back in week 10 against Buffalo. So after that, so week 10, Chubb had 14, then he had 9, then he had 25. He had the big game against the Miami Dolphins. Then he had 8, 12, 23 against Arizona, 4, and 5. So he was lousy more often than he was great.
Right.
When Kareem Hunt came back.
Yeah.
Even though he'll end up second in the rushing title, I'm so happy for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, good for Derrick Henry.
What did the Titans not see in, like, his year when they, like, weren't giving him the football? What did they not see?
Yeah, who knows?
That dude is, you can't, that's like freaking tackling a locomotive.
I mean, I'll never forget when he came through the office.
Yes, he was gigantic.
And I just marveled at how big he was.
The guy had 18 touchdowns, rushed for over 1,500 yards, and ended up being, you know, one of the 5 best running backs in fantasy football, and he's going to be a top 5 pick next season.
Yeah, that's
the thing. But in his rookie year, the Titans barely didn't use him.
Well, because they had gone out and they had spent a lot to bring in Deion Lewis, and they felt like he was going to be the guy. And I know they wanted to try to do a thunder and lightning sort of thing, especially after what Lewis had done in New England.
Yeah,
it just wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work out.
Yep.
All right, so running backs, the top 3 At the running back position, no one's going to be surprised to hear that Christian McCaffrey was number one. Mm-hmm. Aaron Jones was number two. Ezekiel Elliott slides in there and just overtakes Austin Eckler for the third spot.
Yep.
Maybe I'll extend this because Eckler, I think, is an interesting thing to talk about, the interesting guy to talk about with this season. I mean,
you know what I want to find out, Marcus, too? Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I wonder if that's the fewest rushing yards a running back who finished in the top five has ever had.
Eckler with his 557
rushing yards. I'm going to look that up. That'll be in my 150 fantasy.
I would have to think so because, I mean, only recently has PPR become widespread enough for this to be a thing. For a while, PPR was kind of a niche format, but now it is sort of it's widespread. And yeah, I mean, before, if you had 557 rushing yards, you were nowhere near the top five. It just wasn't going to happen. McCaffrey, obviously, everybody's got him pegged as a top three guy next year. I think Zeke, if you went to somebody and said, I think Zeke's going to be a top three running back next year, nobody is going to look at you sideways.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones, I think, is sort of an interesting case because...
Touchdowns,
right? 19 total touchdowns this year. That's a really hard number to duplicate. The rushing yards were fine, just over just short of 1,100. The receiving yards were fine, just under 500. They weren't. You know, those numbers don't blow you away. It's the 19 touchdowns that, for me, makes it hard to imagine him as a top three, top five back next year. And Austin Eckler, similarly, like the rushing numbers weren't there, but maybe with Melvin Gordon out of the way,
yeah,
those numbers go up a little bit.
You would think so. Yeah, no question. I mean, obviously they'd have to bring somebody in there too. I don't know that you would have like a 1 and 1A like you have with Gordon and Eckler, but I mean, he proved before Gordon came back that he could be a featured back, that he can get the job done. The Chargers are a team that could end up making significant changes because Phillip Rivers is no lock to be their quarterback next season, and Melvin Gordon is clearly not going to be back unless there is a huge changing of opinions on him, because that's exactly, you know, why he held out, because they weren't going to pay him, and that's ultimately what he's going to want, is to get paid. So the cool thing is, like, if you think about it, with the number of openings in backfields across the NFL right now, with the kids coming in the 2020 draft and Gordon on the move, expected to be a featured back, which opens up a featured job for Eckler, and David Johnson potentially ending up maybe Tampa Bay, right? So Kenyon Drake would be a featured back in Arizona. You'd have a featured back in Tampa Bay and David Johnson. It could make the running back position a lot of fun next season. A lot of fun.
So you mentioned David Johnson, right? Obviously this year was pretty awful for him. I mean, he got hurt for a couple of weeks, but then just for a long stretch of the season, he was just irrelevant there in Arizona. I'm not expecting him to suddenly jump back and be a top five guy, even if he goes to Tampa Bay and becomes a workhorse there. But can we see him possibly being a fringe RB1, a solid RB2 next year? At least have some value again.
You're talking about Gordon?
David Johnson.
Oh, David Johnson. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Dude, if he goes to Tampa Bay, I could see him being a top 15 back. I mean, I said it on TV.
Right.
He had his best seasons with Bruce Arians in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's had a lot of work the last couple of seasons. I think talent is unquestionable. Durability is an issue. And if he goes to Arians, I mean, hell, Arians just made Jameis Winston the top five, top six quarterback, 30 interceptions. He's a guy who pumps out, you know, productive fantasy players. He's done it his whole career, whether he's been a head coach or an OC. So I could totally see David Johnson being a top 15 back. Doesn't mean I'm going to draft him in the top 40.
Right.
But it depends on where he ends up, because Arizona is certainly not going to be his home in 2020, at least you wouldn't think so based on the lack of usage in the second half of the season.
He's not a terribly old guy, right? He just turned 28.
Yeah, and it's not like he's got a lot of wear and tear. He had you know, the one huge year where he had a ton of work.
He has two seasons. So here are his touch totals for his career, right? 2015, 161. And that year, he was mostly a special teams guy for Arizona. Mm-hmm. 2016 was his huge year. He had 373 touches. That's when he went over 2,100 yards, had the 20 touchdowns. 2017, he gets hurt in the first game, has just 17 touches for the year, misses the entire season. 2018, he comes back, 308 touches, not a bad year. I mean, 1,300 total yards, 10 touchdowns. I mean, it was okay.
Yeah.
And then this year, 130 touches. So he's only had two seasons where he's had 300 touches.
Yeah.
It's just not a lot of work for him. So he just has to stay healthy and get.
That's exactly. And that is, you know, that's sort of like the downfall. It's like he needs to stay healthy.
But you didn't mention Melvin Gordon. And look, obviously he had the holdout.
Yeah.
Which cost him, the first four games of the season, something like that. He got kind of banged up a little bit. Still finishes as the running back 23. Runs hard, can be productive, can find the end zone. I keep saying I would love to see him go to, Houston. Seriously.
No, I'm right there with you, dude. I'm right there with you. They don't have a running back that they're invested in right now. So, and looking at Gordon's numbers, he was averaging 15 fantasy points per game. I mean, not great.
No.
But you'll take it as an RB2. And also keep in mind that he was sharing some of that work with Austin Eckler. So
right.
Gordon, in a featured role, could he end up being a second-round pick next season? Yeah, absolutely. He's not an old dude.
No. I mean, and I would think that if the Texans were to do this, and obviously this is a big if, we don't know anything, but do they move on from the combination of Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson? Because both those guys seem like sort of fill-ins. I mean, they were guys that they added them because they had to. Lamar Miller gets hurt.
Right.
And Miller, by the way, is a free agent. He will be a free agent coming up this year. So I could see them sort of moving on from one or both of those guys, Johnson and Hyde, and sort of giving the backfield to Melvin Gordon, which would be just fine.
It would be fine. I mean, heck, Carlos Hyde had a good season. I mean, it wasn't great, but people especially in the industry were like, Carlos Hyde is garbage.
It's kind of like meh.
He's terrible,
man. Meh.
And Carlos Hyde ended up having a decent season. I mean, he wasn't, he didn't have the same kind of season he had in San Francisco when he was a top 10 fantasy running back, but he was the running back 30 based on points. But I mean, he helped you at times. He rushed for 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
So
it was for his first ever career 1,000-yard season.
So, I mean, it couldn't have been that bad. He certainly had some games where he really helped you this season.
Yeah.
He wasn't reliable, but
that was kind of the thing.
Put Melvin Gordon in that spot. And Melvin Gordon rushed for 1,300 in that offense easy.
Right. You would think so. Which would, man, that would help. And not that, Deshaun Watson is bad. He's been inconsistent, but man, you get Deshaun Watson, you get Nuke Hopkins, you get Melvin Gordon
on
one offense.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is legit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at any guys that are outside of the top five. I mean, Dalvin Cook finishes at six. He stays healthy. He can be a top five guy.
That's the
I think
thing
easily. Leonard Fournette, who I thought was an interesting case, 76 receptions this year.
Yeah.
He had three touchdowns, and that's what kept him, I think, out of the top five.
Which is weird, too, because you didn't go into the year expecting the catches, but you did go in expecting touchdowns.
Right.
You got the opposite.
Right. You got the opposite. And then Alvin Kamara, who it didn't help a lot of people, but the last two, he scored four touchdowns in his last two games.
And in his first 14, he had two.
Two.
Yeah. In one game.
I still contend that Alvin Kamara is going to slip to the late second round next year.
What?
And
late second?
I'm just look.
Wow.
I only say that based on my super scientific, can never be wrong Twitter poll that I put out there, and the responses I got back were. I mean, I got a lot of
When
angry.
Did you post it though? Did you post it in week 15 when people had lost because of it?
I might have posted it during the week 16 games, right? And it's after we talked about it on the podcast a week or so ago. I posted it, and I got a lot of understandably frustrated and angry responses back. I mean, people were like, I won't touch him before the third. I won't touch him before the fifth. Some people said they wouldn't touch him before the fifth round, which is insane to me.
People are overreacting.
Living in the moment, completely. And so maybe that's where I say late second, and it may be early second, but I think he's going to end up being a draft steal next year.
Yeah. I don't think there'll be a draft where he isn't get picked in the first round that I'm going to participate in.
Maybe that's the case. I know that
end of the first round.
We're saying this on December 30th,
at the
right?
latest, right?
So 7 months from now, at the end of July, it may well be a different story. People are hurt right now. People are frustrated and they're just sort of lashing out. By the way, he had 13 passing yards. That has nothing to do with anything. I just saw that. That was interesting.
Yep.
So I think he could contend to be a top five. Oh, and Saquon, you know, who was hurt for a little while.
Saquon's going to be if McCaffrey is the consensus one, Saquon will be the consensus two.
Yeah. I mean, he ended it.
Saquon was just not right.
He wasn't for a long time.
Man. I mean, the ankle, like, you don't get back from a high ankle sprain as quickly as he did be 100%.
His final three games, he had 30 points, 43 points.
Yeah, dude, he won championships for people who were able to sort of, you know,
you could navigate,
get through the storm of him being unreliable there. You got him to the championship, and boom, home run.
You knocked it out. So, all right, wide receivers, the top three, no shock, Michael Thomas. Chris Godwin, who even, you know, missing the last couple games with an injury, finished at number two. Julio Jones sneaks in.
With a hot finish
and gets to number three. And so I think this is sort of interesting, right? Because, one, start with Michael Thomas. Mm-hmm. Obviously going to be the first receiver off the board.
Yep.
How high does he go? Is he a top three pick next year?
You know me.
I mean, I know you, but like,
I'd say five or six. Like, you're going to get into, like, do I draft Derrick Henry or Michael Thomas? And then that's going to be, you know, sort of where he'll go in drafts,
right?
Depending on what people think of him and his you know, perspectives for the upcoming season. He's going to end up being top eight across the board. Mm-hmm. He will be next season's, you know, Nuke Hopkins, where Nuke Hopkins was like, oh, he's the only wide receiver worth a first round pick. Now it's going to be Michael Thomas.
Oh, it's absolutely. I mean,
I could see him being a top five pick, but again, magical season. I mean, like, so, like, he had 149 catches. That broke a record. And, you know, the Saints don't have anybody else outside of Jared Cook. That was a reliable option for Drew Brees there. And imagine if they brought in Antonio Brown. Well, that would be
interesting.
That would be an issue.
I am curious what they do at wide receiver in the offseason. Like, if they, you know, if they go in free agency, if they try to draft somebody. Because they do, as great as Michael Thomas is, they've got to get some help. They got to do something else.
Yeah, I mean, and they made some moves, you know, over the last couple of years that didn't really work out for them. And they're still looking for that number two.
Yeah.
So.
And so the other part, right? Julio Jones is, every year he's, you know, he's hanging around that top five. He's maybe a top three guy. And you want to talk about guys who are sort of roller coasters, right? I mean, he's a guy who will have the huge blow up game. And then he'll have some games that are just sort of meh.
Yeah, he had a Julio season, a lot of yards, not a lot of touchdowns.
I mean, he will go along. Like, he went, what? He scored touchdowns in his first three games. Had one in week one, two in week two, one in week three.
And then he only had one game where he scored the rest of the
Didn't season. Score another touchdown until week 15 when he had two against the 49ers.
Yep.
And that was it. I don't know how to value Julio Jones, because the catches, the targets will be there, the catches will be there, the yards will be there. You just have to sort of manage. I think he's a guy where, and I know Graham talks a lot about roster management and draft strategy and that sort of thing. I feel like Julio Jones is that guy where you draft him, if you are taking him, say, in the second round, you follow that up with, say, maybe a Cooper Kupp in the next round, because you know Cooper Kupp's going to be more consistent. He's going to have maybe a safer floor week to week. So that way, when Julio has those, you know, not so great weeks, you have somebody else to sort of balance that.
Yeah, I mean, Julio's going to be in that whole second round sort of log jam of wide receivers that we see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Devontae Adams might end up going end of the first round in a 12 teamer, but, you know, you're going to see Godwin's going to go in the second round, and you're going to see Julio probably in the second round. Mike Evans will be in the second round. Nuke probably end of the first, beginning of the second round. There's going to be that log jam there of players, the position. I think Kenny Galladay could push himself into maybe the end of the second round, the beginning of the third round. Tyreek Hill will be a second round pick as well. So he's in there. He's not getting any younger.
Right.
But he's still putting up numbers.
Right. Godwin goes ahead of Evans next year, right? I feel like that's going to be the consensus.
Yes.
That Godwin goes first.
I would think so.
And I think both guys,
I mean,
guys,
they were wicked tight. I mean, like,
right.
Godwin averaged 19.7 and Evans averaged 17.9. So it was close, but I'd say Godwin goes before him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think both guys, Godwin, they'll both be good.
You know, he had 1,333 yards and 9 touchdowns and missed, you know, games at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, Evans was tremendous as well, but I think Godwin will go ahead of him. Yeah.
All right. Let's finish up with the tight ends here. Your top three, Travis Kelce, number one, George Kittle, number two, Darren Waller finishes
the baller
as number
three. So he would end up being the best tight end value in fantasy football.
Easily. easily, because right? I'm sure he didn't get drafted in a lot of leagues. And if he did get drafted, it was super late,
yep.
Like end of draft sort of thing. So he's easily the best value at tight end. Zach Ertz finishes at number four.
Mark Andrews, who we all liked.
Andrews at five.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like Ertz, you know, if he plays week 17, he probably gets that third spot, whatever.
Right.
So next year, how do we feel about Darren Waller next year? I was talking to...
Is he going to play for the Raiders?
Well, here's the thing. So
I
was on the Football Die Hard show with our pal Bob Harris and Mike Dempsey, two great guys, and they were asking me what I thought about the tight ends next year and if I would rank my top three, and I had as my top three. I had in order Kittle number one, Kelsey number two, Ertz number three. And they asked me about Waller and Andrews going 4-5 and how would I rank them. My thought at the time was... I would put Andrews ahead of Waller just because I know who Mark Andrews' quarterback is going to be next year.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I know he's going to get those looks. I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. And yes, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Boy, how many times?
Oh, I'm going to mess it up.
How many
year.
Times are we going to mess that up?
I'm like, going to screw it up next year.
I mean,
year
not only us, dude. Everybody.
Right. Right.
I mean, people potentially call San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm going to screw that up. But I don't know who's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders quarterback next year. And that gives me a little hesitation about Darren Waller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Is that fair?
No, it is. Of course, a big part of the guy's value is going to be who's throwing the football to him. And I mean, Derek Carr is still, you know, he's still on contract until 2022.
Right.
But who knows? What else is out there? I don't know, man.
I mean,
I don't know. But Waller showed, I mean, this guy, a lot of people in the preseason and the fantasy community were talking about him, and he met and exceeded expectations. And I mean, right now, all things being equal, he's a, you know, top five or six tight end, no doubt about it.
Right.
And the position potentially, and you know, like we said this season,
said this last year,
this position is driving us nuts. It's awful. It's so thin. It gained a little weight this season. It did. You got Kelsey, you got Kittle, you got Hooper, you got Ertz, you got Andrews and Waller. Evan Engram, I mean, he's talented as hell. He just can't stay healthy.
Right.
Hunter Henry's a damn good tight end. Jared Cook was really good again. Tyler Higbee
came
was
on
an
late.
Elite fantasy tight end in the last 5 weeks. Elite.
Enough that he finished as the tight end eight.
It's bananas.
He finishes the tight end eight based on essentially the last 5 weeks of the season. His last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
23 points, 18 points, 23, 19, 22.
So the position maybe, you would think that Hockenson makes a little bit of a leap.
If Hockenson can take a step
right,
forward.
Right, you would think Fant makes a little bit of a leap. Mike Gesicki started
we'll
to make
Mike Gesicki.
A little bit of a leap, and so did Dallas Goedert. So the position, Jonnu Smith could end up making a leap. He's going to end up being a deep sleeper
yeah,
next
curious,
season.
Because
I don't
Delaney
know that
Walker.
Delaney Walker is going to be back at his age. And in the last couple of seasons, he's been banged up. He's missed time. So Jonnu Smith might end up being a guy who is one of those, like, you know, maybe not as good as a Mark Andrews from 2019. But he could be a guy that you draft as a tight end, too, who could potentially move up into the top 12.
So, which leads me to the flip side of this. Which, by the way, we didn't talk about Odell being on the bad side of this and whether or not he can be good next year. I know we talked about Baker Mayfield.
Is he going to be in Cleveland?
I think he will be.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it just depends on the offensive coordinator and whether or not they get him the ball. But speaking of tight ends, the flip side of that was O.J. Howard, a guy that we all liked, that we thought was going to be huge this year, and just wasn't. Really just was persona non grata for a long time. Cameron Brait ended up having a better fantasy year than O.J. Howard. The talent is undeniable. The opportunity just never seemed to present itself.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to buy back in? Obviously at a much different draft price next year, but do we buy back in on O.J. Howard?
Where is he going to play?
I mean, presumably he's still on his rookie contract, right?
No, I know, but I'll do an off-season sort of wish list from a fantasy perspective, of course. And I wouldn't mind seeing O.J. Howard go to New England.
Interesting. Interesting.
Right? I mean, they could use pass catchers.
Yeah.
So.
And we know what they can do with a talented tight end.
He's in his final year. He'll be 2020 is his final year of his.
Well, then they have the fifth-year option.
Right.
Because it's rookie year, so they have a fifth-year
right,
option.
Right. So, I mean, that could be interesting. Although, again, Tom Brady's not Tom Brady anymore, but, I mean, it could be interesting.
There's also that. That's going to be an interesting one, too, because I am going to look heavily at tight end this offseason, right, because we're all frustrated with it, right? And I just want to see if there's a way we can unlock this, that we can find depth, because I know we've talked about it, and, like, I'm looking at maybe 12 guys that you can start and feel comfortable with week after week. The problem comes if one of those guys gets hurt or one of those guys underperforms. I mean, can Austin Hooper do what he did this year again next year, right? And I know he was hurt for a while, but when he played,
he was damn good. He was the number one tight end in fantasy
for a long time
when he went down with the injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, can he do this again next year? Or was this a flash in the pan, right? I mean, Jared Cook's been nice the last couple of years.
Yep.
But he's an older player. I mean, it took him a while to kind of get going. Can he continue to be productive? You know, what happens when Gerald Everett comes back? Does that cut into Tyler Higbee's production a little bit more? Can Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert coexist and both be productive? So these are things I think I want to kind of dive into this offseason and, mm-hmm. and see what happens next year. So
yep.
It's going to
yep.
be interesting. All right, we'll talk plenty more about that as the offseason goes along, because we got plenty of time now, and we still will be doing, at least for a while, doing two pods a week. We'll figure out what happens after the playoffs. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Speaking of the playoffs.
There's no more Game of Thrones to talk about.
No more Game of Thrones to talk about. I know. Like, there's, you know, Eddie was talking about this a few weeks ago, like, just amongst us. Like, that might be the last show for a while that just captures the collective public interest. Now there's so many shows on so many platforms.
I know.
Streaming, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Showtime. There's so many different shows that it's going to be really hard for one show to just capture everybody the way Game of Thrones did.
Yeah.
So this might be that, you know, I don't know, until we find something. I don't know. We'll find something mm-hmm. to talk about. Who knows? Playoff challenge. If you haven't played before, just a quick rundown of how this works. It is akin to playing a DFS lineup, right, where you can pick any guys on any teams that are in the playoffs. The twist to this, though, is if you maintain the same players in your lineup each week, you get multipliers. So if you start a guy in the wild card round and that team wins and you keep him in the divisional round, you get double the points. And next week you get triple the points, and potentially up to four times the points if that team or that player goes all the way to the Super Bowl. So that's the trick there. You basically want to find teams that you think are going to make a long run in the postseason with players that are going to be productive, and that is how you succeed at the playoff challenge. So we'll kind of dive into matches maybe later on in the week and kind of figure out, like, you know, who to play where and what have you. But I'm looking at just some of the big overall questions that, you know, are as much about the NFL playoffs as they are about the playoff challenge. The first one seems simple. Like, is there any other quarterback besides Lamar Jackson that you're picking in this one right now?
I mean, if you want to be a contrarian, and a lot of times that's how you win.
Sometimes it works.
In playoff challenge.
Right.
You know, you want to. I mean, if you've got a team in mind, like, say you're really high on the Titans and you think they can go from the wild card all the way to the AFC championship game, well, then, you know, maybe Tannehill's but I mean, Lamar Jackson's, he's going to be in every freaking lineup
census
outside
number
of
one.
Patriots and Chiefs fans.
Hey, but even some of them, man, if they're, you know, if they're trying to win.
Well, if Patriots fans want to be honest with themselves.
If you're trying to win.
Your team's not that good. It's not that good.
Then hey, man, you're gonna make that happen.
You guys lost to the Dolphins in week 17.
Ooh.
And the Packers aren't that good either. I said that yesterday on Twitter.
Home.
I got attacked.
Well, Packer fan.
Packer Nation, you're not that good.
Packer fan is trying to come to terms with some things.
You are a weak number two seed.
Packer fans,
you are.
They're trying to come to terms with some things right now. You know, it's not what they wanted it to be. They're 13-3, but maybe not the way they wanted it to be.
Right, and you know, you look through the schedule, right? And number one, Aaron Rodgers does not look like Aaron Rodgers. Okay, he was overthrowing dudes left and right.
Yeah.
Now let's go through their schedule, right? Okay, they beat the Bears. The Bears are not that good. They beat the Vikings. Okay, beat the Broncos. They're not that good. You beat the Eagles, or you lost to the Eagles, and they're not that good. You beat the Cowboys, they're not that good. You beat Detroit and Oakland, two crap teams. Now, they did beat Kansas City in Kansas City, but was that without Mahomes?
Let's pull up the box score. Because
that might have been without Mahomes. That might have been with Matt Moore. And if it was, you won by...
I feel like I was projecting that the...
You won by a touchdown.
That the Viking... Or the Packer defense was a good start.
So then Matt Moore was the quarterback in that game.
Yeah, I don't think I would have recommended that if Patrick Mahomes...
No doubt.
...was the starting quarterback.
You lost to the Chargers, who are not that good. You beat the Panthers. They're not that good. You got destroyed. Yes,
it was Matt Moore, by the way.
So they lose that game if Mahomes is the quarterback. They got decimated by the Niners. They beat the Giants. They stink. They beat the Redskins. They stink. They beat the Bears. They stink. They beat the Lions. The Vikings, The Vikings are You know, and then they barely beat the Lions, who are awful.
Well, they had to come from behind to beat the Lions, too.
They were down 14-0 to David.
By the way,
Packer fans, listen, hey, I'm a Cowboys fan, and I know my team sucked. After we lost to the Jets, I knew it. I can come out and say it, that the Cowboys are not a good team this year. A lot of talent, not a good team. The Packers get home field, and God bless them. The team that comes in there might tune them up.
By the way, David Blau, dude, you caught a touchdown pass. Like, don't throw the ball in the stands.
I know, right?
Hold on to that ball,
yeah,
man.
Dude. Yeah.
You're going to want that thing back.
Yep. the NFC, I feel like the Saints and the Niners are the teams to beat.
I was going
to
say, which team?
The Saints and the Niners are the, and I hope to God that we see that in the NFC Championship game and the refs don't screw it up this time.
Because, well, they are. I mean, look, here's the thing. I feel like we should just start every NFL game day. And everybody just puts out there, oh, my God, I can't believe the refs missed that call tweet. Let's just get it out of the way. Let's just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Right? Just get out of the way early. Like, I can't believe the refs missed that call. We'll just all tweet that at kickoff, and then we'll all feel better when the game is over. Yeah, I mean, are there any other NFC teams besides Saints Niners that you feel like have a legit shot? I mean, like, do you believe in the Seahawks? I feel like they're too banged up right now.
I don't. They're too injured, man. I mean, they had to bring in two guys off the street. I mean, one of them is Marshawn Lynch. But
it was fun to see him play.
Yeah. I mean, we're not looking at, you know, the middle of his career, sort of in his prime, Marshawn Lynch. The NFL is weird. I get it. Like, NFL, like, I can't see the Eagles winning a game, but I mean,
no.
Dude, you know, I mean, you never know. Like, I mean, you never know, but I mean, if as a fan of football, there is nothing more that I would like to see than Baltimore and Kansas City and New Orleans and San Francisco in their respective conference championships.
By the way, we really legitimately could get Niners Seahawks 3 into
games. I know
that is a legitimate possibility. They could be back at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara in a couple of weeks.
Yep,
playing for the third time this year, which would be interesting. The first two games were very entertaining, and they split the first two. This would sort of be the rubber match and see who moves on.
So. Yeah, and we can take a look at these matchups on Friday a little bit later in the week. I think Tennessee's going to beat.
That's going to be. I feel like that's going to be the upset special that everybody is going to be on.
So which means it's not going to.
Which means it's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, which means not.
Are there any of the wild card teams? I know obviously you don't believe in the wild card teams in the NFC. Any wild card teams in the AFC? I mean, I guess technically the Titans are a division winner, right?
No.
The Texans won the division. Texans, so like the Titans potentially could win a game or two, right?
And I said this yesterday. Like I posted on. That's the one team in the AFC you don't want to play. Because they have a lot of confidence. Their quarterback is playing, and he is playing at an MVP level.
He's been lights out.
And he has been for half the season. Look at Tannehill's numbers. And he has led this team to how many wins since he's been back? They've lost, one or two games? They lost to the Saints? I don't remember if they lost another game, but he's been playing tremendous football. Tremendous football.
Lost once to the Texans and they lost to the Saints.
So I mean, he's 7-2 or something like that as a starter somewhere in that neighborhood. It's been pretty good. If you want to go with a sleeper team in the AFC and playoff challenge, I think it's the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the closest thing you're gonna have to sleeper.
They gave New Orleans all they could handle. They couldn't hold the lead. I mean, their defense has got some issues. I really think.
I'm looking at
the Titans are a team that could surprise some people.
I'm looking at the wild card teams, and yeah, they are the one that jumps
right?
out at me.
The Vikings don't jump out at me. Buffalo.
The Bills are a nice story.
Right.
I think they're a fun story. I think they overachieved in a lot of ways this year, and credit to Sean McDermott and what they've done there in Buffalo. I mean, the fact that they legitimately had a chance to win the AFC East. It's been a while since we've said that about another team not called the Patriots. So props to them. I wouldn't be totally surprised if they win on Saturday because the Texans seem good to gag up a wild card round game. Yep. That just seems to be their want. But I don't know if the Bills have enough offense. I mean, I think we saw that against the Patriots a couple of weeks ago where, their defense can keep them in games. I don't know that they have quite enough offense yet to go out and win games in the playoffs.
So, I mean, you're just going all Niners, right? in playoff challenges? You're going all Niners?
I don't know.
All Niners?
I don't know. I may load up very heavily on Ravens, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram. Mm-hmm. I think my tight end, yeah, is probably going to be George Kittle. Mm-hmm. I think here's the thing. The wide receivers are where I sort of run into issues, right? I mean, maybe Deebo Samuel on one side. I don't trust.
You don't want to play Hollywood.
Right.
Like, I mean, even if you really think you're going to get like the quadruple multiplier and he goes to the Super Bowl, but I mean, what is he going
to
give you?
That's the thing. It's like you need him to score touchdowns because the targets just aren't there for him.
Michael Thomas is a lock. Like, I mean, he's
Michael. See, that's the thing. Michael Thomas is a lock, but the good thing is that the Saints have this game at home. In the first round.
Well, and assuming that the Packers, I think the Packers are going to, I'm just saying, I think the Packers are, I wouldn't play any Packers in the playoff challenge.
Not even Devontae Adams, huh? He's the only guy that I would consider.
Well,
maybe Aaron Jones.
Because I feel like they could end up getting knocked out because right now, I mean, obviously it depends on how things play out, but like they could play the Saints, right? In the divisional round.
I know we're kind of going deep into this, but your running backs, Mark Ingram, Raheem Mostert?
Well, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Ingram with the injuries, but I mean, like, Kamara. Kamara.
I mean, yeah, but again, that is depending on how far you think the Saints can go.
I think the Saints can go to the NFC Championship game.
So, all right, so then Kamara's legit.
So
legit.
But again, the NFL is so freaking weird and unpredictable.
Right.
You know, like, so you never know. But I just feel like there's teams in each conference that have shown that they're better than everybody else.
Yeah. I mean,
doesn't mean somebody getting knocked off. Doesn't mean somebody getting, it happens all the time. You know, that's why the NFL is so interesting and frustrating at the same time if you're a fan and a fantasy owner, because, you know, you think something's going to happen based on what we've seen in the past. And then the next thing you know, Deshaun Watson scoring 9 points against the Bucks. I mean, right. That's what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll dig into this later in the week.
Yeah. But I think I'm gonna have a mix of Saints, Ravens, and Niners.
Yeah. That seems legit. So there you go. That is your entry into the playoff challenge. If you don't know it, jump on in. I think it's a lot of fun. I'm not saying that just because I work here, but I do work here. But also, you know, there's a chance to win Super Bowl tickets, and that seems pretty awesome.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. I think that's it. We are done. We appreciate you downloading and listening. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, this is our last show, not only the year, of the decade, our last podcast.
Yeah.
If your New Year's resolution is to stop procrastinating, think about waiting until next week. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody.
We'll see you on Friday.